Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3.
All right.
Hebrews chapter 3. You know, I've been talking, you know, I've kind of hit and miss. It's probably been 3 weeks anyway since I spoke on Wednesday night. I think Pastor Chuck spoke and then we had our seminar. And then Pastor Jerry. But if you remember, I was talking about, leaving the results to God. You know, how we do our part, and then we let God do His part.
Right.
And so tonight, I want to talk to you about getting spiritual results.
Right.
I like to get results.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to do something, you might as well get results, right?
That's right.
And so I want to talk about getting results and how we get results. And why sometimes we don't get results with God's Word. God's Word works.
Right.
You gotta do the right things to get results.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And so if you're not getting results, then you gotta go back and say, well, why am I not getting results? You ever put something together and it didn't work right? What do you gotta do? You gotta go back. And you got to go by the steps again, right? And sometimes you'll find, you know, I left a step out. And so that's why it's not working. Well, you know, the same thing's true with the Word. It works.
Yes.
It works. You know, when I was, taking some flight lessons years ago, you know, you have this checklist. And you went down the checklist every time before you took off. You know, you'd taxi up, and then you'd get there, and you'd sit there, and you'd go through the checklist, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, all the way down. And it didn't matter what you thought about it, because the manufacturer of the airplane knows how the airplane works. Amen. And they know exactly how much weight you should have or how much speed you should going down the runway before you rotate. They know all of that. And it's amazing, if you did it the way they said, it worked. You could pull back on the yoke. The little plane I would fly was a one Cessna 172. You could pull back on the yoke, you know, to try to get the thing off the ground at 35. It's not going anywhere. But the instructions tell you when you hit 55, you can start to get the thing off the ground. And so it's amazing how it just seemed to work that way every time. Well, God's Word's the same way. It works, but you have to do the right thing. So let's go here to Hebrews chapter 3. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 says, "And to whom swear he that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, this is talking about the children of Israel who didn't get into God's rest, the land of blessing and promise. Now some did, but not this generation. It's the next generation. They didn't get in. And the Bible here, in the King James says, verse 18, "To whom swear that they would not enter his rest, but to them that believed not." Now, if you got a New King James, it may say obeyed who didn't obey. And that's because this word "believe not" actually means to believe and obey. To believe, come on, help me out now. You see, you got to put the two together, and that's why some translations will say, most other translations will say, they obeyed not, because the word here is believe and obey. In some places in the King James, it's translated believe, and some places it's translated obey or obedience. So there's this thing about God's Word. You got to believe it and obey it to get results. In other words, you got to do it. You got to do it. And so they didn't get in because they didn't believe. And you know, when you don't believe, you don't obey. But how many know, if you truly believe, if it's true living faith, you know, something the Bible calls dead faith. We may talk about that later. But true living faith actually obeys. It does what the Bible says to do. Now, you know, I just know from personal experience that, you know, when the Word doesn't work for me, it's simply because I'm not really doing it. I may be agreeing with it, but there's a big difference between agreeing with it and actually doing it.
Right.
Amen. Now, verse 1, chapter 4, he talks to us. He says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Well, I mean, we don't want to come short of all the blessings that God has for us. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them and heard it." So it has to be mixed with something, doesn't it? It has to be mixed with faith. And even though they heard, you know, the Bible says the gospel was preached to them as well as unto us. You know, they had a gospel that was preached to them, a gospel of deliverance, of coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. That was their gospel, right? Our gospel is coming out of the kingdom of darkness and going into the kingdom of light and entering into a land flowing with blessing. But the Bible says, the word that was preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them and heard it. For, verse 3, "For we which have believed, we do enter into rest." Hallelujah. "As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now notice this, although, he said they're not going to enter my rest. Talking about these children of Israel, they're not going to enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, putting it in New Testament terms, it's already a done deal. But that doesn't mean you're going to enter into the done deal. It can be done. It can be. Well, Pastor, if everything you preach is mine, why don't I have it? Well, because you haven't entered in. Or maybe you haven't entered in. You have to enter in. And you enter in by simply doing what the Word says. Now, we're going to look at some things tonight, so stay with me, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's go over to John's Gospel, chapter 19, John chapter 19. We're going to do some teaching tonight, and we're going to stir us up to just be a doer of the Word. Yeah. You know, to believe and obey. Amen. There used to be an old song, "Believe and obey, trust," no, it was "trust and obey." "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." Well, there's no other way to enter into the rest of God, the things that He has for us, except we believe and obey. Now, let's go here, John 19, you got it? Verse 26, it says, I don't want to go there. Verse 28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst." Now, I want you to see this phrase. Jesus knew all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. You see, in our lives, we have to do some things for the Scripture to be fulfilled. Just like Jesus had to do some things, He had to go through some things for the Scripture to be fulfilled. We have to do some things for the Scripture to be fulfilled, or it won't be fulfilled in our life. It's a done deal, but it won't be fulfilled if we don't do some things. Anybody got an idea what we need to do? We need to believe and obey, right? So if the Scripture is going to be fulfilled, now I'm going to give you an example here in just a minute, just one Scripture for an example, just so you kind of understand what we're talking about here tonight, if you don't already have it. But for the Scripture to be fulfilled, Jesus said, all things are now accomplished that the Scripture might be fulfilled. I've done everything that I was supposed to do for the Scriptures to be fulfilled about me. All right, so there's things that we have to do. If the Word's going to be fulfilled in our life, there's things we have to do. All right, now, the Bible went on to say, look at this. He said, verse 29, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished." Everybody say, it's finished. "And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." Now, what did he mean, it's finished? Well, let me go back a little bit, go back in the Old Testament. Do you remember Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 1, the Bible talks about God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. You know, and God did his work. But then you come to Genesis chapter 2, and it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." They were finished. And so, and it says God entered his rest. He sanctified the seventh day, the Sabbath, entered his rest because, it was finished. You know, when you get done, you can rest, right? It was finished. Now, This is a takeoff of that. Jesus is at Calvary, and he just right before he gave up the ghost, he said, "It's finished." What did he mean? I just finished the spiritual creation, the new creation. See, the Father finished the original creation, but the Son finished the spiritual creation. See, he said, "Oh, it's finished." Now we know, you know, he was going to go into the heart of the earth, and we know he's going to be resurrected. But that was already a done deal because his blood had been shed. Yeah. Amen. So it was already finished. It was done. Now here's the thing about why was it finished? Why was it finished when God said it's finished back in Genesis? Well, it was finished because God put seed in everything he made. You read Genesis 1. He put seed in everything he made. In other words, God wasn't going to have to come down and keep this thing going. He built it in a way to keep itself going. In other words, if you want more cows, you get Mr. Cow, Miss Cow together, and you have cows. Yeah. Right? Yeah. See, you know, if you want more people, guess what you do? You get him and her. You understand that? There's a lot of confusion about this, but it only works one way. You can try to change it, but you can't change it because God set it up. You can't get him and him and do it, or her and her and do it. It's got to be him and her. There's got to be a him and her involved somewhere. Now, him may look like a her, but, you know, he's still her. Him, he's still him. See how confusing this is? It's no wonder the world's confused. I'm confused, and I'm not really confused about it. But it's not confusing. God set it up this way. God bless those people that are confused, and may they get help, but let's don't treat it like it's normal. It's not. It's confusion. Amen. It's just confusion. And no, we're not joining the confusion. We'll help confuse people, but we're not going to join your confusion and keep you confused. Now, so, you know, you understand, if you want more tomatoes, what do? You plant seeds. So in other words, the way God built this thing is like, okay, God wouldn't have to come down every time we need another cow and make one. You say, well, what happened to the cow I made? Well, Brother Greg slaughtered it and barbecued it. Now we need another cow, God. We're out of cows. I mean, God made it so it perpetuated, keep itself going, right? Because there was seed in it, see? And then, therefore, he could rest because, you know, he's done. He don't have to keep doing this. Now, when Jesus said it was finished, guess what? It was finished. The new creation was finished. The spiritual creation was finished. Now, what's the seed we have? What's the seed? The Word. So we have seed in this new creation to keep the new creation going. In other words, every time we need healing, or we need financial miracle, or we need some kind of blessing, God doesn't have to come down and make it. He gave us seed. Plant the seed. Right? See, you could pray, you know how we say, till the cows come home? You could pray till the cows come home, you know, that you'd have corn in your garden. But guess what? You got to plant it. Prayer doesn't cause corn to grow. Planting it does. You can pray over it after you plant it, but you got to plant it. You can pray for the blessing on it, but you got to plant it. It's not going to miraculously happen. God's not going to come down, and He's not going to create corn for you. He gave us seed. The same thing's true in the Spirit. God's not going to come down and do these things that we want Him to do. He gave us seed to plant so we could get a harvest. Now, how does the seed work? Well, the seed works by believing it and obeying the Word. It's just really that simple. It's not hard. You just got to do what it says do, and it'll produce. Real simple, isn't it? Now, all right, I want to show you an example. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I want to show you an example of this. And you'll readily see that sometimes we think we're doers of the Word, and we're just not really doers of the Word sometimes. I'm not accusing you. You understand. I'm just using it as a general statement. Is that all right? But I know I'm looking. All right, let's just use me. Sometimes I think I'm doing the Word, and I really look real closely and find out, you know, I wasn't really doing it. I was just agreeing with it. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I found that out. I thought, you know, when I really look at it, I thought, well, I really didn't really do that. And that's what the Bible said do. All right, are you in Philippians?
Yes.
Chapter 4.
Yes.
Are you ready for this? Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Well, I mean, that's old King James, and what does it mean? Don't be anxious or worried about anything.
Right.
How many know you got to do that?
Right.
Right? How many would have, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many would admit, sir, sometimes you don't do that?
That's right.
I mean, sometimes you worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the word can't work for you if you're not doing what the word says.
Yeah.
So the first thing Paul said, stop worrying, and but in everything, how many things? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you got to add thanksgiving to it, right?
Yeah.
And let your requests be made known unto God. How many know you're baking a cake? How many know you got to put the ingredients in there, right?
Right.
Amen. So you leave something out, and guess what? You know, if you leave, you know, there's cornbread's not any good if you don't put sugar in it. Well, all right, praise God. That's my opinion, you know. I mean, I've had some of the cornbread without sugar. I thought, this is not how cornbread's supposed to be. Cornbread's supposed to be sweet. Amen. Amen. So if you want the results, how many know you got to put the ingredients in? And this is the problem sometimes with all of us, is we think we're doing it because we agree with what it says. But when we look at the steps, we really didn't do. Amen. And God, if you'll just take this worry away, then I'll do the rest of this verse. No, you got to do that part before anything. Stop it. Just stop. You say, well, that's not easy. Well, I didn't say it was easy, but you got to do it. Amen. You just got to refuse to do it. I'm not going to do it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? All right, now why would you tell God? He's got enough on his mind. Why bother him? You know, it's like one king we saw one time on this movie. You know, he tells one of his guys to go out and clear this forest of all the criminals. Go out there and clear the forest. You know, all these criminals. And he's there by the king. And the king says, go, I want you and your men to clear this forest of all these criminals. And he looks at the king and he says, sire, it won't be easy. And I like what the king said back. Try ruling the world someday. No, it's not always easy, but it sure beats the other. Amen. Amen. Of not getting the blessing, it sure beats that. Sometimes things aren't easy, but you got to do it, right? So with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who? Unto God. Unto God. Well, why would you make it known unto God? I'll tell you why you make it known to God, because he's the one that's going to do something about it. In other words, he cares or he wouldn't. Remember casting all your care upon the Lord, for he what?
Cares.
He cares for you. What does that mean? That just means he'll do something about it. If you truly get it in his hands. I mean, if you put it there and you take it back, then it's back on you, right? See, the Lord said to me years ago, I'll never forget where I was at. Man, I was on Bell Road, Newburgh, coming up to the intersection there. And the Lord said to me, he said, to be responsible, to take the care of something is to be responsible for its outcome. In other words, if you're carrying it, it's up to you to how it turns out. I thought, whoa, I don't want me to be the final say-so on how this turns out. Do you? No, you don't want to be the final say-so on how things turn out. Well, let's let God be the final say-so. Well, we have to put it in his hands, right? All right. So we see there that we have to stop worrying. We have to, by prayer and supplication, you know, Kenny gave us those prayer of agreements. That would fit right here, right? That'd be prayer, right? Supplication means like a definite request. Well, that'd be a prayer of agreement too, right? So let your request be made known unto God with what?
Thanksgiving.
What do you thank somebody? Why do you thank somebody? Because you believe they've done something for you. All right. Let your request be made known unto God. Now, how many know if you don't do that right there, you can't expect the results of verse 7.
That's right.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is that the Bible? That's the Bible, isn't it? So that's the recipe, right? So if I'm saying, God, I'll just take this worry off of me, get this worry off of me, how many know I'm not doing what He said? Now, you know, if we're young in the Lord and, you know, there's mercy and all that, I understand that He has compassion and mercy. But as you grow older, how many know you expect more out?
That's right.
Amen. You know, I remember when our grandkids were young and I'd get pictures from them. And, you know, we got one on our refrigerator right now from our great-granddaughter. How that ever happened, I don't know. But anyway, I mean, you know, the great thing. You know, here's the thing. You know, it's not a work of art. But to me, it looks really good. Because we're grading on a curve here, right? I mean, some of the things I've seen that sell for millions of dollars, I think, gosh, I don't think any four-year-old could have painted that. You know, but it's deep, you know, it's deep. So that's what costs so much. Now, see, God is the same way. I mean, you know, but as you get older, how many know He expects more out of you? He expects you to grow up
right.
And expects you to be more precise
right.
With His word. You know, when you're young, you know, someone said this years ago, minister, he's in heaven now, but I never forgot. He said, you know, the will of God's kind of like an inverted triangle, you know, like that. He said, you know, when you first get into it, he said, there's a lot of room to move around. But he said, the closer you get to that point, the smaller the wiggle room is.
Right.
You got to be more on target.
Right.
And there comes a point where you got to just be right on it. And so as we grow, you know, and you come to a church like this that teaches you the word and you've been saved for years, I mean, God requires more out of us. He requires us to find out what He said and do what He said, and then we'll get results. See, we're talking about getting spiritual results. It comes by believing it and by doing it. See, they did not enter in, the children of Israel, because of their unbelief and their disobedience. Now, had they believed God, they would have obeyed Him because they didn't really believe He'd do what He said He'd do. They didn't obey. But God's good to His word, right? Verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise or anything that's praiseworthy, think are like this, meditate on these things. These are the things you meditate on. Remember Pastor Jerry last week told you can't help thoughts that come to your mind, but you don't have to meditate on them. What does meditate mean? That means I let them stay. I dwell on them. I ponder on them. They move their stuff in, their bags in. They're living in a room in my house. You know what I'm saying? In my mind. That's meditating on. Paul said, here's the things that you let stay in your mind. If it doesn't match this, then get it out. You say, well, Pastor, it's true, man. I'm back due on my house payment. Well, it may be true, but it's not a good report. So it doesn't fit all this. Now, what does that mean? That means you don't let that stay in your mind. I'm not saying you don't do anything about it. I'm just saying you don't worry about it.
Right.
Well, they might come and get my house. Well, you might just try doing this and see what God will do. You might cast it over on Him. You say, well, I've been foolish with my money. You might repent. I'm glad you laughed. Nobody else did. But anyway, you know, there are times we might need to repent. How many know that? And thank God God's merciful. Well, I've made some mistakes. Well, yours wouldn't be the first one. You think God gets shocked when we say, I blew it? I think He already knew it was coming. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when I have kids, none of them are ever going to get in trouble. Well, see, you're deceived. Amen. They're going to get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? It's like I asked a couple in this church one time years ago, many years ago. I said, I want you to teach on raising kids sometime. They said, well, our kids are always in trouble. They're the ones that get kicked out of children's church. I said, that's just the point. They get in trouble when they do something wrong. I think some parents need to know that that's still on the table today.
Yeah.
It's still a possibility. Yeah. Yeah, I knew their kids sometimes, because sometimes when I'm preaching, I'd see them sitting in the back row. I think, well, they got booted out today. You know, you know, in our children's church, if you go in there, it's like a concentration camp. You know, you can't run, you can't throw, you can't spit. I mean, you know, Mona's got them like Stalag 13 or something, man, back there. You know what I'm saying? I took one of my pastor friends back there, and he was reading that, and he said, man, it's like a concentration camp back here. You can't run, can't you? Yeah, that's what Phil said. We'll put you back here then. You handle them. No, it's good to have rules, right? And they're all needful. But you know, so I know, you know, when they get in trouble, I don't know if they still do this or not, Mona. They flip cards. And if you get so many cards flipped, you get a red card or something.
You get your Bible bucks taken away.
You lose your money. They take your money back there. Your money's gone. You get booted out. You get booted out. All right, see, so I would see them sitting on the background. I thought, they got booted out today. They flipped too many cards. That wasn't just one offense. I mean, that's, what is it, three times and you're out, three strikes and you're out, or something like that. Amen. Don't expect any grace around here. You told the line or you're gone. You know what I'm saying? Now, help me understand that as you get older, more is required out of you. We don't kick any of them out of the nursery. I notice there's no rules back there, you know, no spitting, no biting. I'm sure it goes on. You know, why? Because there's an age difference here. See, when they get a little bit older and say, all right, now the biting and the spitting is stopping. I mean, I know it's not going to totally stop, but we're going to curtail it, all right? We're going to put some brakes on it, right? How many are following what I'm saying? See, the Lord's no different. He expects us to grow, amen, and believe His Word and do His Word. If we want results, we've got to do what He said, see? That's what Paul said, do these things. Now, what did he tell us to do? He said, don't worry about it. Pray about it. Give thanks to God for meeting the need that you prayed about. Then keep your mind in check. Verse 9. Paul said, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Everybody look at the next word. Do. And the God of peace will be with you. So if you do the word, God, the results are going to come. Now, let's go as we close out. Let's go to the book of James. You get something tonight? James chapter 1. Let's go there. It's a real familiar passage of scripture to some of us, but let's read it again. James chapter 1. So I don't know about you, but I like to get results. I like to get results. And I realize there's sometimes I let my flesh get lazy and I don't stay with it. Anybody else like that? You know, I let up on my believing. I give up before I receive because I get lazy. I get tired of fighting. I get tired of confessing. But guess what I get? No results. No results. You got to keep doing what the Word says if you want to get results. Amen. And so we just have to grow up, don't we? We just have to grow up and take responsibility and be mature and quit blaming it all on the devil. Amen. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around for him. Don't misunderstand me. He does enough things, but a lot of things are just because we're just not doing what the Word said. If we just do what the Bible said, we'd get Bible results. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't mind you blaming on the devil. He needs kicked and spit at him if you want to, whatever. But you got to, you know, if you're going to get results, you got to realize you got something to do with it. Right. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1, 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Notice this, deceiving your own selves. See, if you're just a hearer, the devil doesn't have to deceive you. You deceive yourself if you're not a doer. See, it's not the devil deceiving you. Now, what is the deception? Well, the deception is because you heard it and you agree with it, you think you're good. But you haven't done enough yet. You have to be a doer of it. So that's what James is saying. He says, verse 23, for if any's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. In other words, you look in the mirror, and for he beholds himself, he goes his way, he straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Now, you know, when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, who do you see? Right. I mean, if you looked in the mirror and you saw Brother Kenny, you'd think, what happened? See, you see yourself, right?
Right?
See, when you look into the Word of God, let me tell you what you see. You see yourself. Now, listen to this. See, I've heard people say, no, the Word shows you your old, ugly self. Well, that's not what the Word isn't about, your old, ugly self. The Bible says when we behold the Word in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're beholding the glory of the Lord. Yeah. We see ourselves glorified in Christ in the Word. Now, the reason we may know we need to change is because we look at ourselves in the natural world. I'm not matching what I'm seeing in the Word. But it paints a picture of the glory. The Word's never there to condemn you. It's there to change you. Are you following what I'm saying? See, so when we look into that mirror, but he says this is just like a natural man. You know, he gets up in the morning, he looks in the mirror. Maybe he's got a mole on one side of his face, but he doesn't really, you know, pinpoint which side it's on. He goes away. He forgets what he saw. But verse 24, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. How many of you just got to stay with it? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deeds. So there's work to be done, everybody. Yeah. All right, let's close. Let's go to the second chapter of James. Verse 14. James 2:14, it says, What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he has not works? Can faith save him or get him delivered? Now, what is James saying here? How many know we are saved by faith, right? But well, here's what he's saying. He's simply saying, when he talks about works here, you got to understand, he's not talking about works of the law. That's not what he's talking about. What James is saying, he says, if you believe the word and you don't do it, what good is it? It won't produce results. See, so whenever you read this in James and you know, people want to, there's been theological arguments about James, but it's real simple if you just understand what's being said. He's not talking about works of the law. He's talking about when you have true Bible faith, it acts on what it believes. If you have true Bible faith, or let's just say living Bible faith, if your faith's alive, when it sees something in the Word, it acts on it. And he's saying, see, that's the way salvation comes. How many know it's not enough just to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, before y'all shut me off, wait till I get done. It's not enough just to believe that. You got to act on Him and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You got to act on what you believe. Because before I was saved, if you'd asked me, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I would have said yes. Do you believe He's the way to heaven? I would have said yes. Do you believe you're going to hell? If you'd asked me if I believed I was going to hell, I would have said yes. Because I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Well, everything I just said, I believed it. But it wasn't alive because I wasn't acting on it. It wasn't until December 20th, 1981, when I made Jesus Lord of my life, that I acted on that which I had a belief in. That's when it became living faith. That's when it produced results. That's when it changed my life. Just see, you follow what I'm saying? See, he went on to say, you know, he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What's it saying? I mean, see, you know, if Brother James comes to my house and, you know, it's 25 degrees, you know, and he knocks on my door, you know, and he, you know, all he's got is a t-shirt and a pair of shorts on, you know, and he said, Pastor, I'm cold, and man, I haven't eaten for 3 days. I said, well, did Mona kick you out of the house? Well, something like that. But anyway, I'm just freezing. I just need some help. And I just go, James, be warmed and filled, and close the door. Have I done anything? No. That's what James is saying. If you say you believe the word, but you don't act on it, you haven't done anything yet.
Right.
You're just like the person who said, go be warmed and filled. It didn't help anybody. It didn't help anything. Now, notice he went on to say, he said, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now, you understand that this is talking about works of the law, works to try to get yourself saved. It's talking about if you believe, you'll act on that. A man may say, I have faith and I have works. You may say, I have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. I mean, you can't see faith without works.
Right.
Somebody can say they have faith, but till you see it, you can't prove it. Now notice he says, do you believe, you do well, verse 19, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, the devils believe and tremble. Are they saved? No, because they're not acting on, they can't act on what they believe now. They've done sealed their doom. But they didn't act on what they believe. They didn't live that way, see? Does anybody follow what I'm saying tonight? All right. All right. He went on to say, he says, will you know, verse 20, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, see, what happened here? Well, God's the one that told him to offer Isaac upon the altar. When he took him up there, he's proven he believes God's word. Now, Hebrews tells us what he believed. He believed that if, now you know, God was not going to let him offer his son, but God was testing him. That's what the Bible says. God did test Abraham. He wasn't going to let him do that. God's not that kind of a God. How many know that? Right? He stopped him, but he put him to a severe test because this is the son of promise, and now he said, go offer him up on the altar. Abraham did not hesitate. But I'm going to tell you what, Abraham also did not doubt that this son would live through it, whatever happened. Because when you read, he told his servant, I and the lad are going off and we will return. And you read in Hebrews, it says he received him raised from the dead in the figure. So he believed God's word that this was his promised son, and through this son, God would cause him to inherit the land. Right? He believed that. So he knew this. You know, if I offer this son up, which, once again, God was not going to let him do that. But his thinking was, if I offer this son up, even if I do it, God is going to raise him up because I believe what God told me about my son. I believe what he said. And his promise was not that my son would die like this. Amen. That he'd be my heir. He would inherit from my blessing. See, that was when God knew he had a man of faith. Remember, he went on to say, by this I know. You read that in Genesis 22. He said, by this I know. And in blessing I'll bless you. And multiplying I'll multiply you. In other words, I know you believe what I said. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, notice this. He says, verse 23, he says, well, verse 22, you see how that faith was working with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. What does that mean? His faith wasn't made complete until he put action with it. It was faith, but it wasn't complete faith yet. It had to have action. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now see, a lot of Bible teachers have had problems with this verse because they don't understand. It's not talking about works to get saved. It's talking about when you have true Bible faith, it'll have corresponding action. If you truly believe Jesus is Lord, you'll receive Him as Lord. You'll take the step and act on it if it's living faith. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she... You ever wonder if Rahab wonders if God... Could we drop the harlot part, please? You know, she did get saved, as we would say under the Old Testament, by joining God's people and got married. But anyway, all right. And she actually got in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Was not, likewise, was not Rahab. Now, I would not suggest when you see her in heaven that you say, well, there's Rahab the harlot. I wouldn't do that. And I wouldn't ask Jonah about his fish ride if he's there. I don't think he wants to talk about it. All right. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God's people did that I wouldn't ask them about because they're probably embarrassed that God put it in there for everybody to read throughout eternity. Some of the things that David did, I don't think I'd bring them up. I don't think I'd get to heaven and ask David, where's Bathsheba at? He's praying, let me show you some of the exploits I did. Let me talk to you about that, right? Or, yeah, or Samson, if he's there. Or how about Jonah, who died mad? Remember the gourd? Yeah, over his head, and he died, the worm ate the gourd, and Jonah. Some of these things, and how about some of the stuff that you did that we don't know about that didn't make the Bible? Hallelujah, thank God, amen? Verse 25, likewise was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Now, you know, she told them, she told the spies, we've heard of your God. She believed in their God. But it wasn't until she acted on that and did something, to an act of faith, that she got justified. When she hid those spies, she got on God's team. Verse 26, and this is it. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So that tells me the only reason your body's alive today is because you got a spirit man inside there.
Right.
If he leaves, your body falls over. Now, let me ask you, see, let's just say we had Fred up here on the front row, and Fred's spirit leaves his body. What's going to happen? The body's going to fall over on the floor, right? All right, is his body still a body? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to call the funeral home or load him up in Kenny's, put him in Kenny's back seat or something, and get it out of here, right? Because it is a body, right? And after a while, it's going to be a smelly, stinky body. So we want to remove it and put it in the right place, right? So, but your faith the same way. Your faith, it can be alive, it can be real faith, but the moment you take action out of it, it falls over on the floor and it's dead. It's still faith, it's dead faith. You still have a belief in something. You're still saying the right things that you believe, but it's not producing anything in your life. You can say, my God meets my need according to his riches and glory, but it could be dead and not producing if you don't have any action by obeying the word of God. See what I'm saying? Yeah. All my cares cast over on him. You could say that, but it doesn't mean it's alive unless you actually did what the Bible said to do. So how many want spiritual results? Man, I do. I don't want to just, you know, we're going to be here. You know, I've had those times before where prayer, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, where, you know, where prayer wasn't just like real vibrant. You know, I'm having my own personal prayer time, you know, and I'm going to go in there and pray and spend about an hour with the Lord, you know. And it's just like, it's kind of dead today, you know. And all, and you know, you kind of, if you're not careful, you kind of just kind of, how can I say it? You're not giving it your all, you know. And I was doing that one day, and it dawned on me, you know what? I'm going to spend time with the Lord for an hour today. I might as well get into this. I might as well be alive. I might as well put something into it. See? Hey, if you're going to live here on this earth, you might as well live in victory. You might as well put everything you got into the Word of God. Obey the Word of God and do the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there was this great preacher. He said this one time. He said, if you don't have time for the word, you'll have to make time for trouble. Yeah, he was a great preacher. It was me. Okay, he was a preacher anyway. All right. But that's the truth. If you don't have time for the word, you'll have to make time for trouble. Was that in last week's bulletin? Oh, I was going to say that just proves you don't read your bulletin. Week before, she said it was in there. You didn't know who said it. Okay, maybe it was 2 weeks before. Well, have me understand, that is the truth. If you don't have time for the Word, you got to make time for trouble. It's going to take your time one way or the other. You might as well be taking your time up in victory.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.